Elul. Okay, page 710. We started last week. We learned an introduction to this. These psukim we're going to go through quickly because basically they're all officially they're the curses. But we learned last week that basically all these curses are really blessings in disguise. That's what they are. So we'll start again. Pasuk Yudalit. Okay. But we learned last week, elaborating on it, that if you don't, you're not diligent in Torah, you don't keep kol ha-mitzvahs. Remember last week we discussed all the mitzvahs, not picking and choosing which mitzvahs you keep or which mitzvahs you don't keep. And if you will consider my decrees revolting, meaning you'll despise the mitzvahs. And you'll reject my ordinances. And again, chukaisa means the illogical mitzvahs. Mishpatai refers to the logical mitzvahs. And what is, how do you show that you're despising it? The vilti aseis is called mitzvaisai, that you'd stop doing all my mitzvahs. The hafrichem as brisi, to know my covenant. Hashem made a covenant with the Jews. Bris means a covenant, but also means binding. Mitzvahs, bris, bind the Jew to Hashem. Okay? If a Jew doesn't do Torah mitzvahs, so then what basically they're doing is despising the covenant, the bris that Hashem made between the Jews. So Hashem says like this, and we're going to learn soon, all these curses that the Torah is going to be teaching us are midah keneged midah, deed for deed. The way the Jews act to Hashem, and as we're going to learn, there's groups of seven sins. The Jews will do seven types of sins. Hashem will respond the same exact way to them in the punishment. So it's actually, this is the way Hashem works. Deed for deed, midah keneged midah. Okay? And therefore, it's like in education, it's a very unique concept in Yiddishkeit. In chinuch, when you tell your kids that if you behave, this is what's going to happen. If you don't behave, this is what's going to happen. You're basically telling the children in proper chinuch, in proper education, you're telling the children like this. I'm not punishing you. I'm not the one punishing you. You are the one punishing yourself. Because I'm telling you, it's up to you. You do good, you're going to be rewarded. You do bad, you're going to be punished. Don't do bad, you won't get punished. I am not punishing you. You are punishing yourself by not behaving. Okay, this is the whole concept of punishment in Torah. Hashem does not punish the people. The people punish themselves. Hashem says, these are the conditions. You do this, you get rewarded. You do this, you are going to get punished. I'm warning you beforehand. So it's not me doing it. You're doing it to yourself. Like you tell a little kid, you don't put away the toy.
Bro.
No, so you're forcing me, you are making me take away the toy that you can't play with it anymore. This is the whole concept of the curses over here. And he says, you are made for my bris, you know the decree, that the covenant that I made with the Jews, so Hashem is going to do the same thing. And he says, Afani eses eislachem, I'm going to do the same thing to you. Vivkadeti aleichem, I'm going to bring upon you like this. Behola, confusion, panic. Shachefes, swelling lesions. Kadachas, burning fever. Kadachas, really, other mefarshim learn, is a mixture of cold and hot. You ever know when you have fever, you're hot and you're cold at the same time? Yeah. That in Hebrew is called kadachas. It's a mixture of, you don't even know what you are. You know, you're hot and cold and everything. Not only that, mechali sinayim amedi v'snavish, I'm going to cause your eyes to long, your souls to suffer. Uzratem lorik zarachem, and you will sow your seeds in vain, and I'll explain what this means, and your enemies are going to eat it. What does this mean? This is a yearning. What does Michila Sinai mean? Hashem says to the Jews like this, sometimes, you know, like you have a yearning. God forbid somebody's sick, but they have hope, you know, in long term that they're going to get better. And it comes in long term and nothing changes. So it becomes a frustrated longing. That's what Rashi says, is this concept, mechila seinayim, causing the eyes to long, meaning the person will become afflicted and he'll die. He'll never be able to heal himself from it. which in turn, Rashi says, will cause the soul to suffer from it. What does it mean, you plant lorik? It's two things. Number one, whatever you plant, nothing will grow. And even if something grows, your enemies are going to take it. It says one of the greatest sufferings, the Torah says, is when you work, and nothing comes from it. The Gemara says, one of the greatest, the Medrash in the Gemara says, one of the greatest tortures that Paro did to the Jews in Egypt, he made him build the Peace of Menamses, yeah? What was the problem with Peace of Menamses, the Gemara says? Whatever they built, the earth sunk in. They had to start all over again. The quicksand. You had to start all over again. So it says, even when a person is a slave, but when they build something, at least they feel they accomplished something. You know, I was forced to do it, I didn't want to do it, but at least I accomplished something, that something was made. Here, that party made them work, it sunk into the ground, they accomplished nothing.
What do you mean sunk?
Whatever they built, it sunk, it was quicksand. It sunk into the ground. And Paro knew that.
They were building on quicksand?
Yeah. And that's what Paro made him do, because that's real torture. You build, and the whole thing goes kaput. It's like you plant, and nothing grows. And then even if you do get something finally that grows, the enemies are going to take it.
But didn't they build cities?
Yeah, but the big verses, Peace and Menamses, they kept sinking in the ground. That's what the Gemara says about it.
Paro was destroying, or they were destroying themselves?
No, the earth itself destroyed it. Paro made him build an earth that's not good to build on. And he says, what happens? You're going to be stuck inside the house. 1 second. You're going to be stuck inside your house. Okay? Whatever grows, the enemies are about to take. So you can imagine the terrible suffering that happens from this. Another interpretation, it says, Uzratem Lurik, page 710. What does it mean, you'll sow your seeds in vain? The Medrash says, and Rashi brings it down from the Medrash, you're going to have children, you're going to sow children, and they're all going to die. Which is, again, the worst torture that a parent, God forbid, can have, is when their children... No, after they're born, they're going to die. Whatever, they're going to die young. That's what it means. You're going to plant seeds. Well, either it means it's going to die, or the enemies will eat them up. That's part of that. Yeah. But here it means in the literal sense. In the literal sense, also the part of the... It's a very interesting Rambam. It's very difficult to understand what the Rambam means, but the Rambam writes like this. That in the halachas of Rambam, the Rambam says that the children of a person are their property. And therefore, when a person sins, Hashem takes away your property, He takes away your kids. In other words, not that they're not separate things by themselves until they become Bar and Bas Mitzvah. And he says, Banim ubanei sektanim are nichsei avim heim, they're the properties of the parents. And therefore, the punishment to the parent is that the kid dies. It's not a punishment to the kid. It's a punishment for the parents that the person dies. Okay. Over Bar Mitzvah, then they're people, you know, adults, then there's their own punishment.
Bar Mitzvah is funny.
No, so it says, the Rambam writes, the kids under Bar Mitzvah. It says, Bezdin of Shemayim doesn't punish until 20. But the Rambam says the kids are under Bar and Bas Mitzvah, are the property of the parents, and therefore that's the punishment the parents get. Okay, V'nasati Panei Bachem, Pasuk Yud Zayin. I'll give my attention against you. V'nigavtem Lefnei Aveichem, you will be struck down before your enemies. Just like we learned before, in the positive way, Hashem says, I'll give you my pnimius, you know, it says, ufanisi aleichem, I'll give you my face, I'll shine to you and give you everything good. Here Hashem says, I'm going to give you my face to do evil to you. Or Upanisi Alechem Bishai's Panay, another interpretation of Panay, is my time. Panay also means time. Hashem says, I'm going to spend time destroying you. That's what I'm going to do. V'nigavtem lefnei aveichem, you're going to be struck down before your enemies. V'rodu v'chem seneichem, and those who hate you, page 710, will subjugate you. V'nastem, and you're going to run away. V'nreidev eschem, nobody's going to even be chasing you. What it means is, Mefarshim say like this, you're going to be so weak, you're going to run away, the enemies won't even bother chasing you, because they know you're going to die anyway soon. You're too weak to run away. In other words, it's such a curse that it's like you don't even realize the curse. You're running away from your enemies, and they're not even chasing you. So like, why are you running? It's like, you know, you're doing something that that you don't even realize what it is. And like the other mafashim, right? You're going to be running out of baseless fear. Mamash, out of baseless fear, you're going to be running away from your enemies. Okay. Now, there's an interesting thing. What's the difference between Oyveichem and Seineichem? Both mean enemies. Oyveichem are enemies. Seineichem are also enemies, but it means those that hate you, which are also enemies. So the Mefarshim explained, the Sifra says, Eveichem means foreign enemies from a different country, and Seineichem are the internal enemies. In other words, so the Mefarshim say like this, V'nigavtem lefnei Eveichem, you'll be struck down before your enemies, means the foreign enemies will make the Yidden dependent upon them. Okay? And then the internal enemies who come to the Jews and say, if you don't keep mitzvahs, we'll, you know, you'll be one of us, we'll give you freedom. The Jews will cast off Torah, and then they'll be punished from the outer enemies. So there's two types of enemies that are going to punish the Jews over here. Internal and external.
The close family or the stranger or that's the family?
Enemies. Not all families are enemies. Most of them are.
So that's
not all. No, close. This Eveicha means the enemies that come from a different country to conquer you. But then you have the internal enemies. In the personal level, you have people that hate Jews, that want to destroy the Jews. And then you have the, as the Gemara uses the expression, Hagoy Asher Bekir Becha. The goy that is within you refers to the Yetzer Hara. Right? Just like the enemies wanted to kill the Jewish people, there's an internal enemy. And in fact, the internal enemy of the Yetzer Hara is called Seinacha, not Evecha. There's a pasuk in Mishpatim that says, Ki Sire Chamor Seinacha, Revitz tachas masoi, v'chadalte me'azev loy, oziv tazev imay. Okay, there's a pasuk in Mishpatim that says like this, ki sira chamer senacho, simply means if you'll see your enemy's donkey, revitz tachas masoi struggling under the load, v'chadalte me'azev loy, you would think that because it's your enemy, you don't have to help him unload the animal. The Torah says, oziv tazev imay. You need to help him. Okay, that's what the pasuk says. So, it's in Perek, Chav Gimel, pasuk, Hey, okay. So the Baal Shem Tov interpret this pasuk like this. Ki sira chamor. Okay, when you see chamor. Chamor means a donkey. Or is it saying Farsi, char?
Char.
So you see a donkey, but chamor also comes from the word chumriyut. Chamor refers to not only gashmiyut. Gashmiyut is physical. Chumriyut is coarse, mundane. It's much worse than gash. Gashmiyut means something physical. Chumriyut means something low. The Yetzer Hara is like it's a chamor. It's a donkey. In fact, the Gemara says Chamor betkufis tamuz kridalei. Gemara says a donkey, even in Tammuz, in summer, when it's very hot outside, a donkey is always cold. That's what the Gemara says. Chamor betkufas tamuz kridalei in Aramaic, karla is cold. A donkey is always cold. What is the Gemara? The Gemara is not a veterinarian. The Gemara is not teaching us animal hospitals. But the Gemara is saying like this. The Yetzirah of a person is called their Chamor, because it's Chamor Chumriyut. It just switched the Vav. The Yetzirah of a Jew is very coarse. It says, the Yetzirah, even when in Tammuz, when the Shemesh is shining, and there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Ki Shemesh Umogein Hashem Elokim. That means even when godliness is shining, the Shemesh is Hashem Elokim, even when godliness is shining in Tammuz, when it's very hot, warm, you know, enthusiasm about Yiddishkeit, the Yetzer Hara is always cold. Okay, that's why it's called Chamor. So the Baal Shem Tov said like this, Ki Sira Chamor, when you will look at your own Yetzer Hara, you will see Son Acha. It's really your enemy. Sanach, it's really your enemy. Yetzer is not there for your good. He really hates you, like we spoke Shabbos. First he gets you to sin, and then he prosecutes you, and then he kills you, the Gemara says, right? The Yetzer is Satan Malachamavis. So it says, a person will think, okay, v'chadalta me'azevli, so you would think that you have to break the Yetzer, kill it. It's your enemy. I would think you have to kill it. So the Torah says no. Azov tazov imo. You should help him. You should help the Yetzer Hara. Meaning?
He should get stronger.
Ah, we'll tell you how to help him. It says many people in the time of the Baal Shem Tov's time, before the Baal Shem Tov, the people that didn't learn Hasidic philosophy were of the opinion that the body is in the way of the soul. Body gets in the way of the soul. Therefore, in order to have the soul good, you have to break the body. You have to bust the body, you have to fast. They used to fast a lot. In those days, you used to roll naked by ants and bees to get bitten up, just to torture the body, to break the body, that the body shouldn't get in the way of the neshama. And the Baal Shem Tov said from this pasuk, the v'chadal to mi'azev la, you might think you should stop and not help the Yetzer Hara. The pasuk says, azev taziv, work with him. In other words, don't break the Yetzer Hara, work with the Yetzer Hara to serve God. In other words, transform, like we said, v'shbati chayiro, to transform the Yetzer Hara, azev taziv, he may work with him to serve Hashem. But you see from that pasuk that even internally, Son Acha refers to the internal enemy of the Yetzer Hara. So there's Eivecha, which are the outside forces that want to destroy a Jew from observance mitzvahs. So many years ago, it was the Hitlers and the communists and the Muslims, whoever it was, that wanted to the enemy of the Jew. Nowadays, it's a worse enemy. It's the good life. Nobody's coming and say, don't observe Yiddishkeit. They say, get an iPod, get an internet, get a this, get a that, and you know. That's the Yetzer Hara.
No, they help them right now, because they make it more easier to...
So it says you have to work with the iPods to use it for Torah. Yeah. Use the internet to learn Torah, not for all the other Mishigas and the Gaon. But this is the difference between Eivechem and Seinechem. Eivechem are the outer forces that try to stop a person from observance of Torah mitzvahs. Seinechem is the internal one. That the only Yetzer Hara that tries to get a person not to observe Torah mitzvahs.
How they say Sonei Israel, they wanted to have somebody is.
The Yetzer Hara is also Son of Yisrael.
No, they wanted to have somebody Son of Yisrael.
Right.
Okay? Is from all sides, but they...
Right, you're right. Son, but when you have in the same pasuk two words, oveichem and sonechem, so the Medrash says, oveichem as the outer enemies, if not the Torah changes the word. In the same pasuk, oveichem and sonechem. So oveichem means the outside enemies, sonechem refers to the inner enemies of the person himself. That the person has the outer, inner forces and the outer forces.
Does the word sinuaz with tzaddik or with sin?
Sin.
So sinuaz is like hidden, something that you cover.
Tzaddik is with a tzaddik.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's
not the same word.
It's going to think like it's a hidden enemy that you don't know.
No. There is an interesting thing. I was going to say it. This mamash is coming up now. What's the big problem today with the terrorists? Okay, years ago, but everything in the world is in personal ruchniyot also. Years ago, like World War II, yeah, you knew exactly who the enemy was. Yeah, you knew in 1948, you knew exactly who the enemy was. So at least you know who hates you and what you're fighting. Then you have today, you don't even know who the enemy is. The enemy could be walking right next door to you. Could be, it looks like your best friend, or it could blow you up. Right? So, it's a much harder level of the enemy, because we don't know who the enemy is. When you know clearly who the enemy is, at least you know who you're fighting. Today you don't even know who you're fighting, it's much worse. The Rebbe Nasicha connects it to Tzafun, the Afikamen of the Seder, that's called Tzafun, also the hidden. But that refers in a positive way to bring out the hidden powers of the Jew to fight the hidden enemies. But the big problem in today's world with the terrorists, you don't know who's your enemy, who's not your enemy. So, in serving Hashem, it's the same thing. The worst type of enemy is an enemy that you don't think is, that you don't know is your enemy, you think he's your friend. That's what the Yetzer Hara. Kisir Echama, you should know Sonach, he's not your friend, he's your enemy. Be aware of it, that he's not helping you in any way. Okay, then it says, you're going to run away, and nobody will chase you. So it says like this, the seven sins that we mentioned before, last week we learned the seven sins. Not dedicate yourself to Torah study, stop performing mitzvahs, revolted by others, hate the sages, prevent others from being observant, deny that God gave the commandment, deny the very existence of God. Last week we discussed those are the seven avedas, the pasuk says. Now the Torah says the seven punishments. Swelling lesions, burning fever, frustrated longing, sowing seed that will produce crops for the enemies, being struck down before the enemy, being subjugated, and fleeing with no one in pursuit. So Rabbeinu Bachai explains that these seven punishments correspond with the seven avedas that the Jews do. Each one is connected to the next. Okay, so this is stage one. Okay? Now the Torah says like this, V'im ad eilu leisishmuli, what happens if you still don't listen to me? I punish you and you still don't listen. V'yasavti liyasra eschem, I will continue punishing you more. Sheva achatisechem, sevenfold for your sins. Now Hashem says, you're going to keep sinning? Another seven sins? I'm going to punish you seven times again. Now all these series, there's five series that the Mefarshim explain over here of sins that the Torah keeps saying, if you still don't listen, if you still don't listen. So the Torah says, I'm warning you nicely. You don't listen, it's going to get worse. You still don't listen, it's going to get worse. Like we learned before by leprosy. You speak Lashon Hara, Hashem first puts the leprosy in your house. You still don't listen, He puts it on your garments. You still don't listen, He puts it on you. That's the way Hashem works. But you see, it's a very interesting thing. Hashem could just give us the worst punishments to start. Hashem's not interested in punishing us. He says, listen, you sinned, I'm warning you. You know, I'll cleanse you. No, don't be stupid. Get the point. You know, get the idea of what I'm doing to you. Change your ways. You still don't. Hashem said, okay, I got no choice to punish you more. What am I going to do now? So, Pasuk Yetzes says like this. Shavarti es ga'inu uschem. I'm going to break the pride of your might. which refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? But the Mefarshim explained, because later on in Pasuk Lamed Aleph it says about the Beis HaMikdash. So here it means the power that the Beis, not only the building, it means what the Beis HaMikdash did for the Jews. You know, the well-being of Eretz Yisroel, all the brachas came because of the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem said, I'm going to break the Beis HaMikdash, what the Beis HaMikdash does for you, I'm going to break it. It's going to stop doing good things for you. V'nasati Hashemeichem kabarzel, I'm going to make your heaven like iron, v'atzarzichem kanechush, and your land like copper. So Rashi again quotes also from the Medrash like this. Iron, you see, you have to ask the metal people, but iron has a tendency to sweat. So even when Hashem says, I'm going to make your heavens like iron, what does it mean? I'm not going to make rain. Right? It's going to be like iron. I'm not going to bring any more rain. But it still sweats. So Hashem says, dew will still come. It's going to sweat a little bit, but there's going to be a dew. The aretz is going to be kanechusha, which is nechashis, which is copper, which means that the land is not going to give out any moisture. The land's going to be dry. So there'll be a little bit of dew, no rain, but the earth won't do anything.
Famine?
Famine, yeah. But not only famine. Before there was also famine, but at least the earth produced. Here the earth is going to stop producing.
What's the reason that they give dew? Not working. What's the reason that they give it?
Why does Hashem give dew?
Yeah, because it's not work at this time.
Dew, the Gemara says, Tal loy netzar. Dew can never stop. What does that mean? I'm going to explain it because it's relevant to the curses that are going to come up. Rain, okay, is dependent on what we do. Like we say here in the Shema, Im Shema Yatishmu, the Nasati Gishmechem Beitam. I'm going to give rain. What happens? Hishamu Lachem, Pesat Vatam Lachem Achim, Nishtavisim Lachem, Vacharaf Hashem Lachem, Hashem is going to get angry. We say in Shema, Va'ata Sashemayim, Vulo Yiyamatar. It's not going to be rain. So the Torah clearly says, rain is dependent on our behavior. We do good, Hashem says, I'll give you rain. You don't do good, no rain. That means our actions affect the level where rain comes from. Tal, the Gemara says, Lo Natzar. Even if you're rotten juice, you don't do anything, do will always be. Why? Because do comes from a level of godliness where our actions don't matter. Whether we're good, whether we're bad, that level of Hashem and the Jew doesn't matter. What does this mean? Do, okay, besides the Kabbalah and Chassidus, just taking Medrashim, it says in the Medrash that there's going to be a Tal, that Hashem is going to be Mechaya Mason with. Tal Sha'osid Lahachi is by Mesa Mason. The Gemara says this do is going to be, God is going to be reviving the dead when Mashiach comes with do. And it says, by Matan Torah also says, when Hashem spoke, Al Kol Dibur V'Dibur Parcha Nishmasim, every word that came out of Hashem's mouth and Hashem's left the body. And the Medrash says, Hashem revived them, Hashem revived the Neshamas with the dew that He's going to resurrect the dead with. Okay? So you see, dew is a level that has to do with Chias HaMesim. Meaning, it's an extremely high level that whether we are or not, it's such a great level, it's going to work anyway. That's why the man was covered with dew at the bottom and covered with dew on top, because the man was a very high level. It says in Kabbalah, the man was an extremely, extremely high level, so there was a dew covering, because dew also comes from the level which is very, very, very great. What does this mean in a practical language? All the curses here, all the misbehaving, is in the level of the Jew of action. Okay? We learned many, many times. You can have husband and wife, or friends. Okay? Marriage and friends is dependent on behavior. If you behave, you're a friend. If you don't behave to each other, you're not a friend. Marriage, you act like husband and wife, you have a marriage. You don't have a marriage. Therefore, you could dump your friends. And I don't want to say the word. You can divorce your spouse. I don't say dump the spouse, but you can divorce the spouse. Why? Because the bond is not an essential bond. It's a bond that you acquired. You acquired it, you can give it away. Right? You acquired the spouse, you can give it away. You acquired a friend, you can get a new friend. Right? A child, you can never divorce. Some parents would love to, trust me. But you can't divorce a child. And you can't say, okay, you're not my child anymore. The child might not behave. You might not have a good relationship with the child. But there is no difference. A child that behaves is not more child. And a child who misbehaves is not less child. You can have a better friend, worse friend. Good marriage, bad marriage. But you can't have a better son, behavior-wise, you could. But you can't have more son, because they behave better, they're more child. There's no such thing. A child is a child, right? Because that bond, that relationship, is not dependent on behavior. So, do comes from the level of godliness where our actions totally don't matter. Like children. In other words, we are banim atam l'Hashem Elokeichem. Okay? We're stuck, and He's stuck. Hashem, we're God's children, He's stuck with us, and we're stuck with Him. Like Gemara says, Ben kachu banayim. There's even a song, Avram Fried has a song. Ben kach banayim, lahachlifam be'umah acheres, e'efshir. It's a Gemara. Whether they're good, whether they're bad, banayim, my kids, lahachlifam be'umah acheres, to exchange it for a different nation, e'efshir. You can't tell somebody else's kid, okay, now you're my kid, and you're their kid. It doesn't work. So that relationship with Hashem is above and beyond these curses. So therefore the Torah says your heaven might become like iron and not give rain, but it can still sweat, dew will still be. That curse can never be that dew will stop, because dew represents a relationship between the Jew and Hashem that's untouchable.
Why you do berachah for tal? Because always we have. Why you do berachah?
It's a good question, because we want it to come down, and it could come down in different ways. We want it to come down in a very good way. Oh, we're thanking Hashem for the Tal. We're thanking Hashem for the Tal.
Is Tal light
rain? Tal is not light rain. Scientifically, I don't know what dew is. Okay, but dew, according to Torah, is not a light rain. It's very interesting what dew is. It's on the ground. You see it and feel it. It's not like rain. But it's infinitely greater than rain.
It feels moist, but it may not have the same chemical property as.
Scientifically, I don't know.
They clean the air. That's really important.
But you know, there's a very interesting thing. We once spoke about this in Sukkot. It says in the Pasuk that the Sukkot protects you mizerem umimotar. Mizerem is like a storm, and motar from rain. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Sukkot protects you from zerem and motar. So if you look at that, it's very interesting. Zerem is Zayin Reish Mem, which is Mem Reish Zayin, right? Or Reish Mem Zayin is 247. Okay? Matar is 249. Right? How many mitzvahs do we have? Ramach, 248. If you have one less, it's Zerem. When you have one more, it's Matar. Right? The Torah says you can't add mitzvahs and you can't deduct mitzvahs. So the concept of sukkah protects a Jew from not to have too many and not to have too little. Because too much is no good and too little is no good. Because when you take medicine, right, you have to take the right dosage. If you take too little medicine, it's not going to cure you. If you overdose in the medicine, it can kill you. Right? So the question is, if medicine is good, keep on loading, keep on taking, it's good. The answer is, certain things have to be exact. And that's why it's an interesting thing. The Mefarshim explained about all these curses. They, you know, people that are not religious ask a question, you think God really cares if I put on tefillin this way or that way, or one day I miss, or I don't do it the right way, or, you know, I don't have kosher. You think God really cares? The answer is, yeah, God really cares, because if you do it the right way, it's the right dosage of the medicine. You do it the wrong way, it can kill you. Yeah, it cares, it matters, how you're doing the mitzvahs. But all these curses are only on the level of the Jew where action counts. You do, you get rewarded, you don't, but in the essence of the Jew, afal pi shechata yisraelu, he's still a Jew.
We still do.
We still do.
While this curses was going on, did Hashem send the Navi to tell them that, you know, to pretend?
The whole time, Moshe Rabbeinu gave Moser. Yeshua, before he died, gave Moser. Yeshaya gave Moser. Yirmiyah gave Moser. You think today's bad? They were just as bad as those days. They're not any worse. They were not any worse than they were.
But this thing happened what?
Do you know that when Ezra built the second base of Migdosh, right, most of the Jews didn't go back with him. Even most of Shevet Levi didn't go back. Ezra's building the second base of Mikdash. In those days, Ezra had to tell the Jews, Hasidu es anoshim nachris miteich, whatever the pasuk is, get rid of the shiksas and come back. And most of the Jews didn't go back right away. Shevet Levi didn't go back. Therefore, Ezra fined the Levium that instead of Meiser going to the Levium, it went, was given as a punishment in the second base of Mikdash to the Kohanim. The Nevi'im were constantly giving Musa to the Jewish people.
Doesn't make sense.
Huh? it makes sense.
Oh, and you see from the world, you have so many Chachamim, Rabbanim at that time. And the people were in that level?
That strong gates are hardest in those days for different things.
Avodah Zarah.
I mean, they used to go crazy, bow down to an idol. I mean, who today wants to bow down to an idol? Today we have different idols.
Computer.
The computers and iPads and cars and there's different idols that we worship. The golden calf, as it's called. But in Indian, there is... And there's no question that when the Nevi'im gave Musa, it was Dvarim Hayotzim in Alev. It was word from the heart that's supposed to penetrate the heart.
So the thing is that not the, they didn't believe them, and they also they wanted to kill them.
Eliyahu and Har Carmel, one guy against 400. They wanted to kill him. But it's all part of the process.
Did
you, was it said? Well, the Navi.
I mean,
sure.
They rebelled against
him. Sure. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know how much problems he had from the Jews?
We have it these days too.
Yeah, but Moshe Rabbeinu.
What I'm saying, rabbis are saying keep Shabbat and stuff, and they have conferences of 2,000 people against him saying, what are you telling our children? All that kind of stuff.
It's all a process. Sin is a process coming from Hashem, because only through sin can you come to tshuva. It's difficult to understand, but the bottom line is Hashem wants it.
More important.
Hashem made Chetei Tadas happen. He made the Chetei Eagle happen. He made it happen because he wanted the concept of Shuva.
Is some kind of process to build up by human beings to close to Hashem?
Listen, there is Musar and there is Chasidus. Okay, both are a part of Torah. Both are very important. One is, as the Pasuk itself says, there's Sur Meira, Asay Taif, Baka Shalom V'Rafef, until me say Yavi Shabbos and Davenik. There has to be Sur Meira, and there has to be Asay Taif. Musar, which is a chelik of Torah, it's a part of Torah, Musar, basically teaches the people the concept of turning away from evil. Don't do this, because this is what's going to happen if you do it like the Torah says. In Leis Ishmu, the Torah is giving Musar. You don't do this, this is what's going to happen. But you're dealing with evil. Okay? This Chassidus accomplished in the second part of the Pasuk, Asay Teiv, to emphasize the good. Okay? Now both are important. Even in medicine, in physical medicine, you have sometimes dealing with the illness, and sometimes you have by strengthening the rest of the body, that certain illnesses are treated, by strengthening the rest of the body, it's easier to fight off the illness. So you have in physical illness, dealing directly with the sickness, or dealing with the positive side, or you know what? In counseling, okay, in marriage counseling, in friend counseling, in counseling, you have two approaches in therapy. There's the Torah approach and then there's the secular approach. Most therapists, when you go to them, they will deal with the issue. There's a problem, they'll start dealing with the problem. Another part of therapy, which is the Torah approach, by the way, is instead of dealing with the problem, deal with the good things in the marriage, deal with the good things in the relationship, strengthen those, and then the bad automatically goes away. Because once you strengthen the positive things, then the evil automatically dies. So these are two approaches. The Torah approach is accentuate the positive, you know, deal with emphasizing the positive, what's good in the relationship, and then the bad will automatically go away. That was Bechlal, and this is the difference between Freud and the Rambam or Torah for that matter. Freud's opinion was, a person is basically bad. The more you dig in a person, the more bad you're going to uncover. And Torah says, a person, the Rambam writes, is really good. The Yetzer Hara is forcing the person to go against him. So therefore, the Rambam says, the more you dig in a person, the more good you're going to find. And the Baal Shem Tov based it even on the Pasuk. There's a Pasuk that says, V'atem tiyu li eretz chefetz. I think it's in Yeshaya. There's a Pasuk that says, Hashem says to the Jewish people, V'atem tiyu li, you will be for me, eretz chefetz, a desirable land. So Mepharshim, what does a desirable land mean? All the diamonds, all the gold, everything is buried in the ground. So what is Hashem saying? You guys are really very precious things, but it's covered with mud. But what's down deep there? Diamonds and gold and all the precious things. So sometimes you have a person that's a diamond. There's just a lot of mud covering it. You have to take away the mud. But what is the person? The person is really good. So this is the that's the difference between Sur Meira and Asay Tev. What is an expression? When you fight dirt, you get dirty. When you fight dirt, you get dirty. So if you're going to fight your bad midos, and you're going to fight with your bad yetzahara, so to speak, so what's going to happen to you? You're going to get dirty. You fight dirt, you get dirty. But if you strengthen the yetzatayif and the positive things, then you're not dealing with negativity, you're dealing with positive. And then it works much better.
Also in education, your kids' education.
The same thing. We mentioned in the past also, years ago, now they know much more about education. Even Torah education became unbelievably more revealed. You know, people found aspects of Torah that they never had before, that they knew. In a classroom, you know, years ago when a kid misbehaved, the teacher put the kid's name on the board. Okay, that's what the teacher did. They put, you didn't behave, huh?
In your school too?
I'm sure you were never on the board though.
Maybe.
So what happened? Think about it for a second. The kid is getting attention. Everybody likes attention. Even the people that say they don't like attention also like attention. Every person wants attention. This kid wants attention. He's getting attention through misbehaving. Instead of doing that, do it the opposite way. When you behave out of the ordinary, your name is going to go on the board. So what are you doing? You're accomplishing a better accomplishment than doing it the other way. Because doing the other way, the kid says, hey, I want my name on the board. I want everybody to talk about me. You know, they'll see me on the board. By doing it a positive way, you're not dealing with evil. You're not dealing with misbehaving. You're talking with good, then you get the attention. It's the same thing like that in every relationship. Bring out the good, and the bad automatically falls away.
They used to give out the stars. Stars on the moon.
They used to give us stickers.
Right.
Sticker.
When I was teaching 12th grade girls many years ago, I walked and I said to them, you want stickers? I can bring you stickers. I mean, they're acting like babies. He said, you want stickers? I'll bring you stickers. They still remember. They tell me about it.
It's pluses and minuses for us now, even in high school.
Well, good.
And
but you should have pluses, not minuses. No, you think about it. In Torah says, deal with the positive. Sometimes, like in the Teichach over here, Hashem is speaking the negative. Hashem says, you do this, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to get punished. You do more, you're going to get more punished. But the truth is, like we spoke at the beginning, these are really hidden blessings. They're not curses. They're hidden blessings. So even though the Torah says, this is what's going to happen to you, but it's really a blessing. Because just take this pasuk, yeah? Hashem says, you misbehave, I'm going to turn the heaven into iron. Yeah? But don't worry, do you're still going to get. Even when I'm punishing you, I'm not destroying you. You're still going to be around.
I always had a difficulty with chinuch and children. Here's a crayon, here's a child. They start writing on the walls, they throw things on the floor, and then you want to punish them. But timeouts and other methods, or whatever the methods are, positive way or whatnot. The question is, this is the environment in which we put them there. So the fact that they draw on the wall, they're children. To them, drawing on the wall or on a piece of paper is no different. So with us as well, so if Hashem put certain things in front of us that we're not supposed to do, and we did it because there's a Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara says, get the crayon, write it on the wall. Yes, okay, we've heard it, but it overcome what we were supposed to do.
That's
the environment in which...
That's not necessarily true, and I'll explain to you why. If a 2-year-old, okay, grabs a crayon, 1-year-old, okay, grabs a crayon and writes on the wall, it's one thing. If your 10-year-old takes a crayon and writes on the wall, it's a different story.
It's a level of understanding.
It's a level of understanding. You can't take, I mean, because you're a newborn doesn't write, okay? But you can't take a little kid, okay, that breaks something, if they're newborn or, you know, a little, very young, that they don't have the understanding. If a 10-year-old will take a glass and throw it on the floor, it's a different story than if a little kid will take a glass and break it or draw on the wall, right? Under bar mitzvah, we don't have the maturity. Therefore, Hashem says, I can't obligate you to do the mitzvahs. You're going to color on the wall, I can't do anything about it. Spiritually. You're going to color on the wall, I'm not going to punish you because you're a newborn. You know, what do you know? Over bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah, Hashem says, okay, now you're supposed to know the difference. Okay? You know the difference. Then you can't behave. You can't take the crayon and write on the wall, or you can't break things, or you can't do things. Now you're supposed to know better.
So there's an actual demarcation with halacha with 13 years old or 12.
12 years old.
And then for children, where's the demarcation for putting the toys away? What do we know? Is it 7? Is it 9?
The kid is old enough to understand it.
They hear it, they understand it, they know the consequences, but yet they don't follow. So
because the parents don't follow through with the consequences.
No, I'm just saying in general.
If you tell your kid, okay, so I had a bunch of kids, it worked. When you tell your kids you don't put away the toy, you're not going to have it. Okay, and again, the kid, by the way, they don't, but a day or two later, the kid's going to want to play with that toy, and they're not getting it because they didn't clean up. Okay? Or if a kid, what happened with my kids, yeah? If they came to shul when they were kids and they misbehaved, I mean, they misbehaved, next week they didn't go to shul. Punishment fits the crime. Okay?
Age.
I didn't bring them when they were babies.
6 years old.
5, 6 years old. If they didn't behave, they didn't go back to shul the next week. Or don't do this today, you may end up in jail. If a kid would say a bad word, because they pick up these words very quickly, it took